I know when I say Merry Christmas, I know it's said so often, but I want to just encourage all of us to be reminded about the joy that's been given to us as believers through the birth, the death, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And really, that's why we gather together, even through the centuries, on what we consider Christmas Eve, and we simply celebrate and we commemorate the arrival of the Christ child to this planet. What a blessing that is, and what a joy that it brings us. Amen?
Amen.
So as we go through this service tonight, you'll be doing some standing and sitting. After the song is over, please be seated, and just we'll have a little bit of a reading and some scripture. And then when the song begins to play, I simply ask you to begin to stand up and worship with us if you're able to stand. We're just so blessed to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand now. We're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to just sing Joy to the World. God, we thank you, Father, for this time of year when we commemorate, we celebrate, we remember, and may we never forget the gift that has been given to us, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, church. This is a church service. Let's celebrate. We celebrate Christmas, not for the gifts, but for the gift, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sing with us tonight, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world. Tears.
said to David, you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. We've been in a mini series of this Christmas season, which we commonly are this year. We've been titled the focus, Christmas Expectations. This time of year, we can all have expectations, and we all do, and sometimes they come to fruition, and sometimes it seems like the rug gets pulled out from under our very lives, and things unexpected take place. As we go forward in this account, our focus is expectations of the people involved in this story, this factual account of the arrival of the Messiah to the planet Earth. Christmas, a day in which is officially a recognized holiday in nearly every nation of the world. It's astounding how this annual commemoration of the birth of a child 2,000 years ago continues to draw the attention of billions of people around the globe. This very special season evokes thoughts of wonder, suspense, and the miraculous to see how the God of the universe chose to openly initiate his salvation plan for humanity by sending his own son to become one of us in the form of a baby boy. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. The story draws from real historical characters who are imitated annually in Christmas plays around the world. Royal figures such as Caesar Augustus, Herod, and the Magi from the East. Common people like Mary and Joseph and the lowly shepherds working all night in the fields outside of Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Each character representing real people who were living a normal life until God showed up. He stepped into history and upended any expectations that they may have had. Our story begins in Israel with a recently engaged couple, Mary, a very young virgin, and her soon-to-be husband, a carpenter named Joseph. They were living in the northland of Israel in a region called Galilee, in a small, insignificant village named Nazareth. Most certainly, their expectations were to soon be married, raise a family, and enjoy life as a traditional Jewish family would. But that would all change one day when Mary would receive a visit from the archangel Gabriel. The angel assured Mary that she has found favor with God Most High. Mary was then given the offer to conceive, carry, bear, and raise the Son of God. The conception in her womb to take place, not by the will of man, but of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. In short, the unsuspecting Mary would soon be expecting, with many unanticipated events that would soon follow.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Luke 1:26-38.
Amen. Please stand with us and sing, "Mary, Did You Know?" Please be seated. Given this certainly unexpected angelic announcement, Mary would have understandably been troubled. Knowing that agreeing to conceive a child in such a way and becoming pregnant out of wedlock would open her to scorn and suspicion, not only by her intended husband, Joseph, but by her family, friends, and the community at large. Frankly, is it any wonder why 9 months later that there would be no room at the inn in Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem for this young and by then very pregnant, travel-weary teenager and her husband-to-be? You see, one of the things Mary didn't know upon accepting this proposition was that in her 9th month of pregnancy, she and Joseph would be forced to travel some 80 miles, likely on foot, to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem to comply with the Roman census. Once there, the couple would have to settle for birthing her firstborn child in an animal stall in a stable in Bethlehem, just outside of Jerusalem, likely the very place used for the birthing of the lambs to be sacrificed at the annual Passover festival in the nearby Jewish temple. Indeed, the favor of God at times is a two-edged sword. Honor and blessing, as well as heartache and difficulty, all wrapped up in the same heavenly package. Despite this, Mary and later Joseph, and despite any expectations they previously held, would respond to God's plan by simply saying, yes, let it be done to me as you have said.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Amen. Please stand with us.
Stars are brightly shining.
The account of Christmas also includes the Bethlehem shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night to protect them from thieves, wolves, and other destroyers. It was to these lowly laborers that God chose to first publicly announce the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, born not far from where these shepherds were working faithfully, performing their duties. A host of angels appeared to them, telling them that they would find the newborn babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a feeding stall, possibly the very same stall where the sheep out of the fields that night had been birthed months before. The shepherds immediately went and found the baby exactly as the angels had said. They then went away rejoicing and telling all those that they encountered about the amazing events of this night and about this child whom the angels said was the Savior, Christ the Lord.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of which great joy which will be to all people. Amen. For there is born to you in this day, in this city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all who had heard it marveled in those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Luke 2, 8 through 20.
Amen. Amen. Please stand with us. O come, all ye faithful, sing it with us. Moving on, we now meet the royal members of the Christmas story, beginning with the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Frankly, the emperor in his warm palace hundreds of miles away in Rome would be completely unaware of the edict to require a census throughout his kingdom would require Mary and Joseph to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem and ultimately bear the Messiah there. In so doing, Caesar Augustus unwittingly became instrumental in the Christmas story by helping fulfill the words of the prophet Micah, which he'd written 700 years earlier. Micah predicted that the Christ, the Messiah, would indeed be born, not in Nazareth or in Jerusalem, but anywhere else but in Bethlehem. Caesar simply expected a census to be taken, but unexpectedly became part of God's plan to save the world. Other royalty in this story include the Magi, traveling from the Parthian kingdom in the east, who, having seen the supernatural appearance of the light in the heavens, arrived at Herod's palace in the capital city of Jerusalem, seeking to find the one who has been born king of the Jews. I mean, where else would they expect to find the nation's king to be born except in the royal palace in the nation's capital city? They would be greeted there by the jealous and wicked King Herod. He would redirect the Magi to the nearby hamlet of Bethlehem, where the prophet Micah had predicted the Messiah would in fact be born. Too indifferent to be bothered to go himself, King Herod's wicked scheme was to have the Magi find the Christ child and to report back to him the child's location so he could in turn murder this would-be rival to his family dynasty. However, after finding the baby Jesus, worshiping him, and presenting him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the Magi were warned by God in a dream about Herod's murderous scheme and returned home from Bethlehem by a different way. You may be seated.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Matthew 2, 1 through 12.
As I prepare to go into my final reading, and then after that we'll have a couple more songs, I was reminded today, in fact, I had a couple comments about my tie tonight, and I appreciate that. Thank you. We're here to honor Jesus Christ and him alone, but I'm thankful for something. I'm thankful that at least today it came to my attention that we now have a president and a first lady who publicly endorse and publicly are thankful for what Christmas is about, God sending his son to this earth. And for them to speak that openly in the public arena, I just want to say I'm blessed. Amen. So, yeah, I'm thankful. Amen. And finally, the pivotal character in the Christmas account, the one with no lines to quote in any Christmas play, it's the baby Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. To an outsider, the arrival, place, and time of this child may seem insignificant, almost happenstance. But to God, that moment came about in the exact fullness of time. Jesus would be born in a filthy stable because there was no room for the fledgling family in the guest house. A stable, a manger, swaddling clothes. Truly, this was no nativity scene, at least not the likes of those commonly portrayed on today's beautiful Christmas cards. However, to God, this was the appointed place and appointed time, and these, the appointed parents, the pivotal birth event of all human history, set in motion in the Garden of Eden thousands of years earlier when God informed Satan that the seed of the woman would one day destroy him and his power. This was Emmanuel, God with us, who would lay aside his privileges in heaven to be born in the likeness of man in the Bethlehem stable. It has been well said, Jesus could not redeem us until he became like us, and so that's exactly what he did. And because the Son of God chose to put on human flesh, therefore all mankind can now receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by the same method used by Mary to accept the offer that was given to her, by simply responded, yes, to his invitation of salvation. Yes, Lord, I receive you as my Messiah, my Savior, and my Lord. The Christmas account reminds us of the way in which the heavenly King had become a man to save Adam's fallen race. Divinity had indeed become confined in a man, in a human body. Emmanuel, God with us. Indeed, this baby in a manger, having all the appearance of a commoner, was in fact a king. Actually, the king. The Magi were not seeking the one who would become king of the Jews, but the one who had been born king of the Jews. He was, always, and will always be the king of heaven. Stand with us as we sing.
Emmanuel, God.
Hallelujah.
Seated.
Jesus, the light of the world. In the beginning, the living expression was already there, and the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face, in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. A fountain of life was in him, for his life is light for all humanity. And this light never fails to shine through darkness.
Amen.
Light that darkness could not overcome. Suddenly a man appeared who was sent from God. A messenger named John, for he came as a witness to point the way to the light of life and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is, for he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light. For the perfect light of truth was coming into the world and shine upon everyone. He entered into the world he created, yet the world was unaware. He came to the people he created, to those who should have received him, but they did not recognize him. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name, he gave authority to become the children of God. He was not born by the joining of human parents or from natural means or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13.
you came in, you would have been able to receive a candle. If you did not receive a candle, there was some in the back. We're going to have a candle lighting ceremony, and we're going to sing together Silent Night. Thank you for that silent night 2,000 years ago when the people living in darkness saw a great light, and that light would not be just for that day, but it would be for the years and centuries to come, even to today. That light is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that on that silent night many years ago, you gave us your only Son as a sacrifice to mankind for our sin. He would die that we may live. And God, for that we thank you, and we commemorate and celebrate this Christmas season. Thank you for the perfect gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may extinguish your candle if you would like to do that, if you haven't already done so. Please remain standing. You know, I just want to tell you one or two things, and then we have a closing song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. We just kind of like that song around here, and it's a good song to exit the facility and go out in the cafe. There's some nice things for you out there, some cookies and drinks like that. So, and if you did not get your family Christmas ornament, please get that as well. We have one, I know, for each family, so, or each household. Please get one of those. We would love for you to have one of those. And as we begin to sing in just a moment, I want to thank you for joining us tonight for this very, very special and very meaningful service. We just bless you guys. We thank you for our regular family. We thank you for our visitors that are here tonight with you as well. We pray and trust for a blessed Christmas season for all of you during this time of year. Let's remember, as we say, the reason for the season is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, again, on your way out, you may deposit your candles. Let's sing with us, though. One more song. God rest ye merry gentlemen.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy.
Amen. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Blessing, you are dismissed.